In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you understand why Matt Eberflus added penalty possibilities, be it a false start or a holding call, to justify not running another play at the end of the game and settling for a 46-yard field goal that was ultimately blocked? Why the continued protest?
Yeah, that's a good question. I do not understand. I don't understand why you're trying to add more reasons that you made the right decision. It failed. It's crazy. I think the answer is that there's a statistic out there that that in his career, Cairo Santos is 70 of 70 inside 40 yards. So obviously, all you got to do is get inside 40 yards. And if you really want a perfect kick, why wouldn't you try to do that? Well, you know, we got enough yards and we lost our nerve and we're worried that we could be set back. We're not thinking of the positives, we're not feeling the momentum, we're not looking at what the quarterback has managed to do and being wowed by it. We're saying, well, where's the next shoe drop? We've gotten far enough. I honestly believe it's a defenseless position to say, you know, you had time for another play, but, well, humana, humana, abada, abada, what if we jumped off sides? Ooh. You know, listen, what if a large rock hit the planet Earth and it wiped us all out? Oh, my gosh. There are some things that you can't worry about. There's no future in it, right? I mean, you want to.
Did you say there's no future?
I'm saying that the sky is falling, okay, Chicken Little. And that's what it sounds like to me when I hear a guy trying to justify I don't know about the future. The future is in peril at Halas Hall. I mean, look, it didn't work. You made the wrong decision. We thought that would be good enough. I get it. I understand. You know, we thought we got to we had a line of demarcation and we got past it. He has to kick that. We have to have a good operation. Why don't you talk to Hightower? Why are you asking me these questions? Hey, I understand that this guy's taking on water like crazy, but you can't plug a dam. You move on. You cannot give one, and you move on. That's your only choice in this situation. Don't keep telling me that you wouldn't change it. It didn't work.
He's doing this because he's owning it. He's owning the situation. Let me ask you this. Had he said, I'm going to take accountability, guys. I should not have done that yesterday. I should have ran at least one more play. I'm guessing that this morning we would have said, that's a fireable offense. He's admitting that he screwed up. It's a fireable offense. He should be gone. As soon as the press conference ended, I also heard some people suggest that he now just take a fine from the NFL. Don't talk. Just take the fine, pay the fine, because no matter what he says, and that's our job to a certain extent, we're going to second guess what he's doing. But if he would have said, my bad, guys, I believe that somebody on this station, I won't even say it's you guys, somebody on this station would have said, that's a fireable offense. He's sticking to his guns. He's sticking to his guns. He's telling you why he did what he did. And again, I'm going to say, I think today might be Pat Manley Day. I want to hear more Pat Manley after he's seen more views of it. Because again, three guys got their asses kicked on the play. Right. And maybe the Packers did something illegal.
We'll get to that.
So I think, Dustin, he wasn't really sticking to his guns. He was adding an explanation as if he got more advice after the fact to include this. Hey, Matt, you might want to mention this next time. And that's where I think it came across as a little bit weaker than he would have intended or wanted it to. But I also think that we're all missing the point here. How he explained it on Monday to me is much less concerning, even though it'll get a lot more attention, than the decision itself and what this says about the way that he thinks. I really think that this provides a glimpse into what some of the problem is. Your best coaches, and I don't need to name who my favorites are, you already know that. But when you have a football coach, the power of positive thinking is a real thing. You can speak things into existence. You can go through life as a football coach and believe that you can affect change in a positive way just because good things are going to happen because I am going to put you in the best position to succeed. The Bears, in this case, Matt Eberflus expected the worst to happen. He expected bad things to occur because that's the way losers think. It's a loser's lament. Well, we can't do this because this will go wrong. I want my head coach to say, we are going to run the ball, we're going to gain 5 yards, and then we're going to kick a field goal, and we're going to celebrate because that's what we do here. We win. You believe in me, and I will believe in you, and we're all going to celebrate. That, to me, what he said yesterday just underscored how he doesn't approach life that way or his job that way. And I understand because of all the losing that's happened, it has beaten him down. So maybe at one point in time, Matt Eberflus was Mr. Positivity and would have said, this was my decision. I'm going to stand by it, live with it, deal with the results. Chicago has beaten him down to the point where he doesn't have any confidence anymore. So bad things are expected to happen because, you know what? They have.
Molly, I got a question for you and Hawk.
That's the voice of Jared Payton. He's with Mully and Haw at 9 a.m. when Caleb Williams referred to Rome Odunze postgame Sunday as my guy Rome. Do you think that provided a glimpse into what might be contributing the issues with the chemistry with veteran wide receivers? By the end of the season, are you sure who will be the Bears' number one wide receiver? And are you sure now?
Rome Odunze is Caleb Williams' guy. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Maybe it's Keenan Allen if it's not Rome Odunze. I'm not sure it's DJ Moore. And that may be something we don't have intimate knowledge of in the relationship, but you can see what we see and we can speculate. But there's an easier rapport in chemistry between Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. And those two catches on that key drive will be, you know, something that they both build on. Remember that drive against the Packers? Remember 3rd and 19? This is something that stood out to me. And when he referred to Rome as his guy, they're both rookies. We know the background. We know they're going to grow together. This is Caleb Williams, Jamar Chase. You know, the Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze. I'm not convinced that by the end of the season, this won't be more obvious. Each Sunday, it probably will become more so. But something to keep an eye on. You hope that they can spread the ball around, but the Bears don't, you know, have a dynamic passing game yet. So I think you take what you can get. And right now, the surest thing about it is Rome Odunze seems to be Caleb Williams' guy.
Well, if Rome Odunze can turn into Jamar Chase without the attitude, sign me up. Okay, like sign me up.
I'll take the attitude too.
Sure, sign me up. I might do without the attitude, but sign me up for that. Listen, they've got three wide receivers that are all above average. I don't know that every team has three defensive backs that are all above average. The thing is the Bears need to find where that weak spot is and just get the ball to the open receiver. But maybe Caleb Williams is the type of guy who keeps receipts. Okay, there's no doubt about the fact that, you know, DJ Moore said that Justin Fields was his guy. And maybe after the fact that DJ Moore got paid, I'm just speculating here, okay? Maybe DJ Moore doesn't spend enough time on the field afterwards. Maybe Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, you know, go out. Maybe they build Lego things together. That's something that Caleb likes to do. Maybe they watch extra film together and it becomes his. I don't care who's his guy as long as it helps the Bears get into a position to kick a game-winning field goal against the Packers.
Yeah, you know, I think that when he said my guy Rome, I think he was talking about the fact that their draft mates, that they flew on the plane to Detroit together, that they've kind of shared their hopes and dreams, and they come in at the same time and they go to rookie camp and all the rest of it. I just think it's, he's talking about their friendship, which is totally a natural thing. I think the Bears' number one receiver is DJ Moore. He is the best wide receiver on the roster. I'll be honest with you. I'm holding my water on Rome Odunze, and I'm hoping that things work out better than they have been. But I am not overwhelmed by what he has done thus far. And I wanted him, and I wanted them to get him. But I'm just saying, I don't see him going up and getting the ball like he did in college. That maybe that's on the way. Hopefully that's on the way. I don't see him as especially speedy a receiver. I think Malik Nabers is a better player than Rome Odunze. If you look at that rookie class, and I don't know that I believed. I knew Malik Nabers is a really good player, but I think he's been better thus far. I know that Rome has talked about his old college teammate who went to the Rams and had an unbelievable rookie season.
Puka Nacua.
He's not Puka Nacua, okay? Not this year. So, I mean, listen, it takes time to get to fit in, to get your place. You know, you can have your guy Rome. I'll take my guy DJ Moore.
I did not know that was coming.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not being mean about it. I'm just saying. Rome's got a little bit of a distance to go.
Hey, Rome wasn't built in a day.
No. Come on. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe that's something Eberflus can clear up a little bit later on today, but that's a good question.
Lead to Rome.
Rome if you want to.
Rome around the world.
Cue up the B-52s, Brandon. What did you make of Matt Eberflus saying the Bears saw direct contact with long snapper Scott Daly on the blocked field goal that determined Sunday's game? He said the Bears are sending a copy of this video to the league. If it wasn't called, what's the point? Does it make you or him or anyone feel better?
Hey, I mean, look, are you ready? Here you go. I'm going to try and make a noise. Okay. Whoop-dee-doo. I mean, it makes him feel better to turn in the tape. And then he'll find out, well, yeah, the league will issue a thing saying Matt Eberflus made the correct decision. The officiating let him down. Okay. Yeah, there could have been a penalty. There could have been a penalty on them, but they didn't call it. It's it to me. I mean, go after the officials, kick them out of the Super Bowl, make sure those guys don't get to the playoffs. Hit him in the pocketbook. But guess what? It doesn't change anything. The league's not going to do anything or change anything. It's just more howling at the moon as far as I'm concerned. Well, you know, obviously we made the wrong decision. Obviously it went against us. But we're going to go to the league and make them apologize to us because there was a – I mean, it's what you do. It's what you send in. But don't stand up there and tell me it. I mean, you want to talk about an eye roll? That was like, oh, well, you're sending it to the league. Give me a break. Doesn't matter.
Well, I don't think the tape's going to tell you that the Packers did anything wrong on that play when Larry Borum was on his tush and when the inside lane was given to
They had a guy pushing
Matt.
From behind, Dustin. They had not only did they hit the guy, the long snapper, which you're not allowed to do. They've changed those rules, and they call it all the time. They had another guy that was shoving the guy up. Do you see how high they got up? They had somebody helping him, which is illegal.
Well, based on that comment, then I think Matt Eberflus is doing the right thing. If you're that passionate about what happened, then how can you go with a sound effect for your answer?
Because,
that's doing the right thing.
Because it
and
means
that means
nothing.
That Eberflus did the right thing. If the Packers, Mully, you just said the
yes.
Packers cheated. Cheated out loud.
You could have thrown a flag on that for two different reasons.
Okay, well then, but then.
But they didn't, Dustin.
I'm saying, Mully,
this is another stance at the podium to explain how you made the right call. Problem is they didn't call it.
I don't have any problem with him doing this. I think it's consistent. because especially when you consider, was it Javon Dexter was flagged for leveraging, and we saw the Steelers have a situation where leveraging is a point of emphasis this year. I wondered if that was going to be the call. I did wonder about the protection of the long snapper. And the Bears send in, every team sends in a series of plays every week to the league office, whether it's a late hit on a quarterback or why isn't this called on this or why was this holding call? Questionable calls get scrutiny. The Bears have about 47 assistant coaches. Somebody's in charge of sending clips to the league office. Whoever that person is needs to do that in a timely fashion. So I think when Matt Eberflus is asked about it, certainly he's under scrutiny for the other stuff that happened and his role in making those things happen. But this, to me, was just a matter of it's routine. It's something that every team does right. Every single week.
Right.
This week it gets more attention. And when he gives voice to it, well, yes, we are sending that in. It sounds more like an excuse because we're ready and the Sharks are circling. So everything that he says is going to be dissected and magnified. But I do think that this is well within his realm. And I think he would have he has an obligation to get an explanation from the league office.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, boy, good question.
Coach Wannstedt with you guys, 740 to 820 in studio. Check it out on Twitch. Do you expect to hear from Ryan Poles this week? How important is it for Poles to make a clear distinction between him and Matt Eberflus at this stage? Or do you think Poles will stick by his guy, which could threaten his own standing?
I'm very curious about the next time we hear from Ryan Poles in a setting that isn't controlled. I am very curious to hear how Ryan Poles approaches his support for his head coach, or how he's going to explain how the season got off the tracks, because the season has gotten far off the tracks. We were talking about the playoffs in August. Everything was happy and rosy. The picture was definitely one you want to paint as a general manager. This is the way you wanted your franchise to look. And something went terribly wrong. On the way home from London, everybody got lost. The season is adrift. Ryan Poles hired Matt Eberflus. Ryan Poles reinvested his faith in Matt Eberflus when he ignored and neglected Jim Harbaugh and the availability of a guy that would make your franchise better. And not just Jim Harbaugh, but bringing Matt Eberflus back, it was a sign of loyalty and support from the general manager with whom he shares an agent. So this is something that when Ryan Poles speaks next, how much do you support your guy now? And how much will you support him moving forward? I do want to hear the dreaded vote of confidence. And if we don't hear it, I think what he won't say or what he didn't say will speak volumes. So I'm very curious, based on the way things have gone now, based on the role coaching played in the latest loss, I do want to hear from Ryan Poles sooner the better.
I agree. Sooner the better. But I think if he does not pop back up again until Sunday on the flagship, I think you could read into the fact that he is distancing himself from him. He is getting so much scrutiny over, you know, here's another one. Which explanation, if you think that Eberflus screwed up, which explanation was worse? The explanation 2 weeks ago about not getting the extra, you know, allowing the Commanders the extra yards ahead of the Hail Mary, or this explanation of why you didn't, you know, which one was worse? And polls,
where would you rather me punch you, in the face or the stomach? I mean, does it matter?
Well, it's a topic, David. Yes. Okay. I mean,
which is worse? Which is worse in your mind?
Oh, I think the commander's part was worse, because I actually don't. I sided with Eberflus. I'm not going to change my opinion. Three guys on the offensive line got their ass kicked. Maybe they cheated. Maybe they didn't. But I think Ryan Poles. It would be really big of Ryan Poles to be sitting shoulder to shoulder with Matt Eberflus if he's on his side and agrees with the decision made to kick the 46-yard field goal. I also think that they might do a little victory lap if the NFL comes back and says, you were right, we were wrong.
Yeah, I don't expect to hear from Ryan Poles this week, and I don't expect him to sit down next to Matt Eberflus and make a point that they're all in it together. I think it would be unwise of him to link his future to Matt Eberflus's. I think that it would be unwise of him to give any sort of, the dreaded vote of confidence. It just, that sort of thing just kind of blows up on you. If anything, I'd wait till you win a game and maybe be more omnipresent. But I don't think this is the time for Ryan Poles. I also think if you're Ryan Poles and you're looking for your argument, you know, you're two plays away from being 6-4, not 4-6. And I mean, if you really think about it, did they lose that Arizona game because they lost the Washington game? I mean, who knows what would have gone on after the fact. I think they lost the New England game because of attrition of schedule and injury and et cetera. I didn't think they had enough in that game in retrospect. But it probably didn't help. They were in the midst of a losing streak. But now, these two losses are more on the coach because you led in the fourth quarter than they are on the general manager, whose argument the management was, if we had better coach, we wouldn't have lost those two games and the season would have turned dramatically. So I think that he doesn't need to air that out. He doesn't need to say anything. He needs to just go ahead and do his job and plan and plot and try to get better. And surface after a win, maybe.
Different question on a different topic.
That's the voice of Mike Florio. He's here with you at 8:44 this morning. Were Coby White's strong comments after Sunday's disastrous loss an example of an emerging vocal leader or a guy frustrated with his teammates? And can you believe the Bulls entered Monday night's game having taken only two charges all season? And Alex Caruso, well, he's already got three.
You know, that's Alex Caruso. That's what he does. And, you know, it's why he's sometimes unavailable, because he sacrifices his body, and not every player is willing to do that. And certainly there are a lot of players that are learning how to play defense. Coby was one of them. I think he's done better at it. I still don't think of him as a defensive stalwart or a stopper or anything like that. He's not Alex Caruso, that's for sure. I think it was good. I think he's an emerging vocal leader. I think this team, I think that it is evidence of him becoming more comfortable as the one of the main guys on this team. And he's with kind of aging veteran players, and he's the young guy that is going to be the future all-star. I think he's one of these guys that always could knock it down. And he's developing into a better all-around player, and he understands what it takes to win, and he's right. You know, their defensive effort has been awful. Josh Giddey can't play a lick of defense, which is why Josh Giddey's numbers aren't, I'm talking about usage, isn't where he would want it to be. But that's not news. He was the same way at Oklahoma City, and he's the same way here, and he's another younger guy. It's got to get better at that. And I think the coach is already sort of preaching that to him, already sending him messages through the media. Yeah, hey, Coby went through this too, and now look at where he's at with it. I think Billy's handling it well, and I think it's just part of kind of growing up as a player, and I think that definitely Coby White has grown up quite a bit as a player in front of our eyes.
As a fan, I love the fact that he called himself and his teammates out, that they've got to do better on defense, that that effort is not acceptable, and it's definitely not acceptable at the United Center, which continues to sell out night after night after night after night.
I love what he said. Called the defense unacceptable, embarrassing, and a disservice to the organization and a disservice to the fan base. He said that after Sunday's loss to the Rockets. And then he spoke even louder last night. He backed it up 25 points. That's how you do that. He had pressure that he wanted to point and put on himself. And he went out and he shot lights out and he played as good of a defense as you're going to see him play. The Bulls are not a defensive team. But you can control, Thomas Brown, your effort and your attitude. And they need a better job of controlling their effort defensively. Josh Giddey isn't it defensively. He's a liability. But other guys can step up and play a little bit better. And I think that's what he was getting at. And I think Billy Donovan doubled down the day after. He had his players back because this was not accidental. It sounds like Kobe White wanted to make it known that he didn't find this acceptable. And this is the way the leaders talk. Good for him.
Can he go? Foot race. Glenn will catch him. Touchdown. Pick six, Notre Dame.
What surprises are we expecting when college football playoff rankings come out later tonight? Is Notre Dame overrated, properly rated in the most recent AP poll where they check in at number six? And do you consider the Irish a legit title contender?
I'm not sure about the surprises. Maybe an SEC team would be a little bit unhappy if they get ranked lower than possibly they would like to. I think I'll be looking for Notre Dame keeps winning, and I keep getting more curious each week that they do. Eight-game winning streak now. They're averaging 43 points per game through that streak, and I'm curious about where their seeding will be. I'm curious what their matchup would be, and everything now is about the playoff. I know they have Army in New York. I know they have USC in L.A. That's a tough coast-to-coast schedule. That's what you sign up for when you go to play at Notre Dame. Very impressed by the way that Marcus Freeman has rallied his team back. I asked a question, it's rhetorical, but I do wonder, are they here because they lost to Northern Illinois? Did they respond to that loss in that way? And was that a blessing in disguise? Or would they be the number one team in the country had they not lost to Northern Illinois? I don't know which was better for the program. It might be the fact that they took a loss and he's reminded them every day since of what that they can't do. But this is a interesting year in South Bend. And tonight I'm really looking to see where they are and what the potential matchups would look like.
Yeah, David, I agree. I think that they are where they are because they had that loss. Now, it could have been to somebody else as well, but I think the Northern at home, Northern was supposed to be basically a cakewalk. Maybe the starters don't even play in the second half. Maybe the second quarterback gets some reps in the entire second half of the game. It didn't turn out that way, and I'm sure that everybody is reminded about that loss, you know, constantly. This is not a great college football season. What's really going to be interesting, it's interesting each week, but will be very interesting is if, you know, what happens to 10-0 right now Indiana, assuming they lose at Ohio State this week, what happens to them, right? And we also have to keep in mind, understand the rules of the college football rankings. Right now, the rankings don't reflect the conference champions. The top four conference champions are your technically 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds when they actually play the games. So, you know, again, you know, Miami, you know, would Miami beat Notre Dame on a neutral field? Would Ole Miss beat Notre Dame on a neutral field? You know, probably all favored over Notre Dame on a neutral field. But right now, Penn State's ranked fourth. Penn State's not very good. And number one, Oregon went into Madison and struggled mightily on Saturday night.
Lucky to come out.
Yep. Right? So, I mean, there's a lot to be determined. And that's what's cool about this, that there's still so much to be determined.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you, the story of the college football playoff rankings is the story of this season, which is how many teams from the SEC are going to get in and how many teams from the Big Ten are going to get in. That's all that matters. Ultimately, you're going to have an argument about the 12 teams. Now, the Big Ten, right now, they're pretty highly ranked. We'll see what happens. If Ohio State were to lose to Indiana, or if Indiana loses to Ohio State as expected, only loses badly, then they could be out completely. If they have a good loss, then they could be in, despite a loss. But I think it's going to come down to that. And I think that the problem that you have is these SEC teams are cannibalizing each other. And so you're going to wind up, I mean, are you going to have a three-loss team in the SEC team in the Final 12? I would say at this point you probably are, because they're all, other than Texas, they all got a couple losses. Who's going to win the SEC? Does that mean you're going to only have a team that gets an automatic berth and another team? I think they're going to end up with a three-loss SEC team in the 12. Just looking at the numbers of it. Now, the good thing is we are winding down, guys. Do you realize there are basically two more weeks left in the college season before you figure out who's going to be playing and who in the conference stuff you're talking about, Dustin? So I just think that the season is coming down to the wire, and I don't think I know how many teams from the two big conferences are going to make it. And I think that's a problem for the two big conferences. And if they get bitten by that this year, well, that's their problem, right? I mean, there'd be a lot of people in college football happy about it, but it would not be the necessarily best grouping of teams in college football. So I'm kind of very curious to see how they set this up moving forward.